This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
You and I, we give our whole experience of God to others as we engage with God. Amen. And so I'd like to continue on that same wise as we were talking about rebuilding altars, and there are some things that are needed on that altar that you build. Last week we talked about becoming a person of the altar. Becoming a person of the altar. Now, you and I will know that when we build an altar, there are certain things that are required at the altar. Amen. There are certain things that are required at the altar. And we were learning last week that the key to new beginnings is a return to our first love for God. Hallelujah. If you look at Revelation, we looked at Revelation chapter 2. From verse number 4 to verse number 5 in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4 to verse number 5, the Bible reads, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." So we find that if we're going to rebuild the altar in our lives, we have to go back to our first love. And one of the things we talked about last week, again, is that every altar demands what? A sacrifice. And the Lord's altar, friends, is no different. When God commanded the children of Israel to build an altar, it's not that there were no altars. They did not use to build altars before. But now God brought direction as to what would be happening at that altar. Because it's not the first time in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 24. This is not the first time that they were building altars. They had been building altars, and we saw that last week, that they were building altars to sacrifice on them and to the Lord. Noah built an altar to the Lord. Cain and Abel, they built altars to sacrifice. Nobody was exempted. But all of that was just a shadow of what was to come, because the blood of bulls and goats, the Bible tells us, that could not satisfy the requirement for God to receive from for you and me to receive atonement. And so the Bible teaches us that Jesus came as the one sacrifice, as the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that God could accept for your sin and my sin. That is why today, you and me, we do not offer the animal sacrifices for our sins. Does that mean then that sacrifice is no longer needed? On the contrary, we are still required as children of God, today's New Testament believers, we are still required to offer sacrifices unto God. Amen. If you look at Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 2, just to confirm what I was saying about Jesus being our supreme sacrifice that was accepted to God, the Bible says that we need to be a people that walk in love as Christ also did what? Has loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Jesus gave himself to God. And when you look in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, you will find that this Jesus was the supreme sacrifice. Having given the sacrifice of himself, there no longer was any requirement for bulls and goats for you and me. If you look at Hebrews chapter number 10, Hebrews chapter number 10. The Bible reads in verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 11. The Bible reads, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man," which man? Jesus. "After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Verse number 14, again, let's read together. "For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. By that one offering, there is no longer anymore any need for sacrifices." Why? Because Jesus' sacrifice was enough in with God. And all you and me now have to do is to accept that sacrifice that was given, and then that we can become children of God. Amen. However, when we become children of God, it does not mean that we are exempt, like I said, from offering the bulls and goats on the altar. We are still required to bring a sacrifice to the altar. Hallelujah. We've raised up an altar to the Lord, but that altar that we've raised in your home or here, like we were learning last time, that altar demands a sacrifice. Remember, we're saying that an altar has three demands. Number one, it will demand your life. And your life becomes the sacrifice that you bring to the altar. God still is looking for a sacrifice from you. And it is upon that sacrifice, the same scripture, the Bible tells us that the old was a foreshadow of the new. And the new has come, and you and I are living in it. In the old, he said in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 24, he said, "When you offer your sacrifice at the altar, what will happen? I will come there and I will do what? I will meet you. And not only will I meet you, I will bless you." When what happens? When there is a sacrifice. So when we raise an altar, we need to lay a sacrifice there, even in today's time. The difference is that you and I are not bringing blood, bulls and goats, because Jesus has already taken care of that. But now you and me become the sacrifice that God is looking for. Amen. God is now looking for you as a sacrifice on the altar. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Are we together? In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible reads, I'd like us to read together verse number 1. Romans 12, numero uno. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Other versions, reasonable service, there translates spiritual worship. Which is your spiritual worship? What is that? Your body. So now he's saying here that, and Paul comes to this place in Romans chapter 12, and you notice he's saying, therefore. Therefore tells you that because of what I have said in the past, this is what you need to do. And Paul is saying, because of what I have spoken in from chapter 1 to chapter number 11, this is what you need to do. You need to present your body. He's saying you need to give your life as what? As a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, when a sacrifice was given, what happened? It died. And that was it. But now here he's saying, look, you are becoming the living dead. You are becoming the living dead because as a sacrifice, you are dying to your personal agenda. You are dying to what your body requires. Now, why did he not say present your soul? Present your spirit? Because trust me, friends, I'm sure all of you will agree with me that it is not your spirit that desired the clothes you're wearing. It was your body that craved for the things that you have. Many times when you and I step into a place of sin, we step into a place of challenge, it is our body that is driving us. Our flesh. It is not our spirit. That is why Romans chapter 7, he says the things that I want to do, I find that I cannot do them. Why? Because my body is pushing me into a different direction. What he's saying here, he's saying, listen, you are a spiritual man. You are a spiritual being. And Jesus has taken care of your need to sacrifice bulls and goats. He has taken care of your coming before God. Now, you need to do something. Your sacrifice to God must now be a killing of the flesh. Must now be a putting the flesh down and lay your desires on the altar. Die to your desires. That's why he's saying present your body. From chapter 1 to chapter 11, he was talking about the mercy of God. He was talking about the favor of God. He was talking about how we need to build our faith in God. He was talking about how we come to Christ and how all man has sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He was talking about how we need to live a life to the Spirit. And by the time he comes now to chapter 12, he's saying, because of all this, you need to understand that the only way you can do it is by presenting your body as a living sacrifice unto God. Child of God, the altar will demand your life. Your life becomes a sacrifice that you give. And until and unless this happens, there can never be a productive Christian life in your life. Does that make sense? Productive Christian life in your life. You see, that is why today, because man has failed to give our life as a sacrifice on the altar, what we have now begun to do as children of God is we are now living what I would call Christian humanism, if there is such a thing. We are putting man at the center of our Christianity rather than God at the center of our Christianity. That is why you are finding today that there's so much the way you live your Christian life is you are just too much, you are too radical, or that is not it. I don't know if you've noticed that in our generation, in this season now, there is a redefining of Christianity. Oh, maybe you haven't noticed it. Maybe you're part of the redefining of Christianity. So as a result, you have not noticed it. But you see, there is a redefining of Christianity. The last time I checked in the Bible never said that a time will come in the 21st century when we are going to redefine Christianity. The Bible says, from time past, God did what he did and never changed his mind. But today, from the pulpit, we are saying some parts of the Bible are wrong. The minute you begin to say that, then you have lost touch with the God of the Bible. The minute we begin to philosophize on the Word of God, the minute we begin to compromise and say, well, you know, I can do this or I can do that. After all, the grace of God, the Bible says, shall you continue to sin that the grace of God abound? God forbid. Child of God, there can be no life except you are a living sacrifice. Anything else is not considered before God. How do I know that? When you read the Bible says that Jesus is coming for a church without spot, without wrinkle. Today there is rarely a talk in the house of God about walking right. There is rarely a talk in the house of God about living right, about dealing with issues of sin. It is always about how you will break through to your next level. It is always about how you will increase in life, how you will have success. And you find that as a result, today church has become a motivational society. Yes, we're supposed to be motivated, but from the spiritual aspect. Because if all you do is come to church for motivation, oh, friends, there are many seminars you can attend from Monday to Friday in the hotel. You don't even have to come here. Because there's a motivational talk every day. Just turn on the radio. You will find something. But you see, if you are looking for a life that is given to Jesus as a living sacrifice, then this is the place for you. This is the book for you. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I want to encourage somebody that if you are going to have an effective Christian life, it is time for your life to be given at the altar. It is time for you to become a living sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible tells us that we are a living stone. That we are being built up a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. Why? Why are you a living stone? Why are you being built up a spiritual house? And why are you a holy priesthood? For this one purpose. To do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Are we together? Let's read together verse number 5. It's on the screen. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, why are you a living stone? So many times we talk about it, I'm a holy priesthood, I'm a royal priesthood, I'm a chosen generation, I'm this, I'm that. But God is saying, I'm doing that for one purpose. That you may do what? That you may offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And what is that spiritual sacrifice, friends? Your life. That's why in Romans 12 verse 1, he says that present your bodies as what? As a living sacrifice. That is what? That is holy. If you go back to the Old Testament, the Bible says that God said when you bring the animals, they must be what? Without blemish. They must be perfect. Why? Because it is considered a holy thing that you are bringing to God. That's why he's saying your body must be presented holy. The Bible says what? Be holy because God is holy. Today there is a teaching in the church that is saying that it is okay for you to do whatever you can as long as you just go to God and ask for forgiveness. The last time I checked the Bible, Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 26. Hebrews 10, verse 26. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 26, praise the Lord. Let's read together from verse 26 to verse number 27. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Now, I don't think we have other versions there, but other versions will say, if you deliberately continue sinning, if you deliberately continue sinning after you have received the knowledge of the truth. There are three schools of thought concerning this scripture, depending on where you are sitting. You find that one school of thought says this only refers to those who have pretended for a little bit that they are believers and, they never really accepted Jesus and then they have fall away. Another school of thought says, this does not include those Christians who have accepted Jesus, but they've just backslidden. And another school of thought says, this does not even build anyone that has accepted Jesus, once saved, always saved. It doesn't agree. So you find that even in Christian circles, there is even debate as to what deliberately sinning after you've received the knowledge of the truth is. I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, the Bible says that, I think it's in 1 John, he says that he who is born of God does not continue to sin. Huh? He who is born of God does not continue to sin. So if he's saying if you deliberately, what does deliberate mean? I know that what I'm doing is wrong, right? Oh, is it Pastor C who said it? It's the Bible. Oh, no, 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 you don't understand. Yes, the Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9, he says if you confess your sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, when you read the Bible, you'll find, in fact, the Bible says that, let me show you another scripture here. It talks about how these people, the blood was cleansing them from sins committed in ignorance. What does ignorance mean? It means I did not realize that I was sinning. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Remember what we're talking about, being a living sacrifice. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 9. Look at Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 7. Hebrews 9 verse number 7. The Bible reads, it's up on the screen, let's read together. But in the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Ah, what does that mean to you, friends? Ignorance means that I did something I did not realize, and having realized, I confess my sins, 1 John 1, 9, and God is faithful and just to forgive me. But if I live a life of deliberate sinning, even when I know, even when I know, the Bible says there only now remains fearful indignation, judgment. But the Bible says the reason for this, verse 8, in the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Verse 9, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. And then he begins to talk on and on and on about how Jesus came as the high priest, and that he entered the altar place as a sacrifice with his own blood. With his own blood. Now, friends, that is why he's saying that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is because of such things. Look at verse number 29 of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 29. Let's read together. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Think about that. Verse 30. Let's read up to verse 31. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing, friends. If you and me are going to be living sacrifice, whom God is calling to offer up spiritual sacrifice, what God is saying, friends, he's saying, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, there is this great athlete, I forget his name, In history, not the athletes of this of today, way then, I think he was a British athlete. I forget. I think it's Stud or something like that. He said he was asked about this Jesus thing. He said, "If God be God," and I'm paraphrasing whatever he said, because it has just come to my mind. He said, "If God be God, and Jesus Christ shed his blood for me, it is a small thing for me to sacrifice for him." All he was saying, he's saying, if God can send Jesus to die for me, then it is a small thing for me to live for him. That is why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, the Bible reads, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus said, if anyone desires to follow me, let him do what? Let him pick up his cross. Let him die to self for him to follow me. Child of God, this Christianity we are doing in this generation, there will be many of us surprised when Jesus comes. And I don't want to be amongst those that are surprised. Because the Bible says that preachers will be given stricter judgment. For what? For not instructing. For not telling. Child of God, I'm not saying that I am perfect. No. But each one of us, we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We must work out our salvation. Child of God, refuse to accept a life of just saying, I'm a Christian as a culture thing. Let it mean something in this season of new beginnings, friends. Let it mean something. That is number one, the sacrifices that you need to bring to the table. It is your life. It is my life. And not only that, he says, after you've brought your life, there's something else you need to bring to the table. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15, the Bible says, remember, we are called to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Number one, our life. Number two, he says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15, therefore, lay by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. And that is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. So our praise also is a sacrifice. That is why when we come to the house of God to do praise and worship, we are offering a sacrifice unto God. Do you notice that the praise team, where do they stand? At the altar. What we declared as an what? As an altar. What are they doing? They are leading us in what? A sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. When we are singing to the Lord, what are we doing? We are offering up sacrifices unto God. So God is saying, you no longer have to bring me booze and gods and blood and all that, but what you need to bring me is what? A heart. Listen, friends, if your heart is closed, you can never praise God. The praise team, they can shout, they can jump. If your heart is closed, you can never praise God. It will be a waste of time. It will be noise in your ears. But do you know that if your heart is open, it doesn't matter how bad the voice is, you will be dancing and praising God along with them. Amen. So the Bible is saying your praise is a sacrifice unto God. Your praise is a sacrifice unto God. So engage in what? In worship. Engage in praising God. Now, verse number 16, he's saying, not only the sacrifice of your praise. Let's read together. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What is he saying? He's saying your lifestyle. Do good unto others. Do good unto others. Guess what? It is a sacrifice unto God. It is a sacrifice unto God. And not only that, your possessions. He's saying, your possessions, you need to share. It is a sacrifice when you give. Remember, the altar demands your giving. Demands your time. Your possessions, friends. It is important. When you look at Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter 4. I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 18. Philippians 4 verse 18. Maybe go to verse 17. The Bible reads, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. What were they? A sweet smelling aroma. The last time you hear that is God. When the sacrifice was going up to him, he was smelling it as a sweet smelling aroma. But Paul is referring to the same thing, but it was what? It was giving. Because the Philippians, they sent aid to him. They gave of their resources. Remember, these are the same Philippians that Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that we read during our giving. He was saying their giving was a sweet smelling aroma. And what was it? It was an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Oh, who were they giving the resources to? They were giving to Paul. Amen. Are we together? You want us to give another sermon? This is what we need in this season. Amen. Amen. Who were they giving? To Paul. But God was saying it was pleasing to who? To God. Are you seeing that? They sent their gifts. Their giving. It's kind of like when you're giving in the house of God. It is what? A sacrifice. When you're giving in the house of God, you are giving to the church. You are giving to the coffers. Or when you're blessing Pastor C, you are blessing somebody else. You are giving in the house. You are giving towards the work. God is, and Paul is saying, although you are giving to man, you sent Epaphroditus with this gift to give to me so that I could finance the work of ministry. You were doing it as a what? You were giving a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is pleasing to God. That sacrifice is pleasing to God. So to you, you may be giving to man. And that this is where you find that many of us, we lose it. Because we say, well, I'm just giving to the church. I'm giving to so-and-so. I'm giving to this. But God is looking at your sacrifice. God is looking at your giving. Is it pleasing to God? Is it pleasing to God? You will notice that if number one, your life is a living sacrifice, it will be easy for you to do Romans, Philippians 4 verse 18. It will be easy for you to sacrifice. But because your life is not a life of sacrifice, there are other things that take precedence. Amen? Because there are other things that take precedence, it is difficult to sacrifice towards the work of God. But the minute your life is given to God, every sacrifice is not worth it. You will find that you will sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. You will sacrifice for the sake of the work. And the Bible says it is acceptable or pleasing to God. I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, there are times then when I have decided, you know what, I'm not going to give to the house of God. I'm going to do this. Many times that thing will be past and you will forget about it. And sometimes you will regret. And then you still have to remember, oh no, I did not give to the Lord. And then you start feeling bad. Why? Because the Spirit of God is pushing you. So, when we begin to put things in perspective, friends, you'll find that a life of sacrifice is key. Now, there are a few things about sacrifice as I come to a close, as I almost come to a close. We need to remember. Number one is that sacrifice is not a substitute for obedience. Sacrifice is not a substitute for obedience. Tell your neighbor, sacrifice is not a substitute for obedience. I see many people, they think that if they give to the house of God, they can live a lifestyle any way they want. But the Bible doesn't say that. And I see, you see what the enemy does is because he knows, oh, the church needs finances, the church needs to do this, the church needs to do that. And so you find that pastors turn a blind eye to the lifestyle of people because, well, you know, they give. But the Bible is very clear. He's saying your sacrifice is not a substitute for obedience. God demands obedience before sacrifice. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 22. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. The Bible reads, let's read together. So Samuel said Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. This guy was sacrificing, and the Bible says God did not look at it. He said, no. To me, walking in rebellion is like witchcraft. Verse number 23. Let's read this together. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Wow. Just think about that. Oh no, me, I'm not idolatrous. Well, are you stubborn? Me, I don't walk in iniquity. Are you stubborn? I'm not a witch. Are you rebellious? Ah. You think the witch is just a guy that's sitting at the corner doing... No. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So you can never substitute your sacrifice for obedience. Tell somebody, you cannot substitute your sacrifice for obedience. Number two, friends, in sacrifice must cost you something. Otherwise, it's not a sacrifice. Your sacrifice must cost you. Otherwise, it's not a sacrifice. Look at somebody and tell them, the sacrifice must cost. Do you think a living sacrifice doesn't cost? It costs. Think about how many times you've wanted to do something, but the Spirit tells you, this is not for a child of God. It costs, right? It costs, but the reward is greater. It is the reward you look to. The reward is so much greater. You know, there are so many things that you can do as a child of God that you could do, but because you're a child of God, you decide, I will not do it. I will not do it. Look at this. When David... when David had messed up, and the Bible tells us that David went to the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. And when he went there, Arauna offered him to sacrifice using his sheep and his oxen. What did David say? I will not sacrifice to God what costs me nothing. I will not sacrifice to God what costs me nothing. Friends, if it doesn't cost you, it's not a sacrifice. If it is something you can afford to give, whether it's your money, whether it's your time, whether it's your possessions, it is not a sacrifice. Amen? That is why when we talk about sacrifice, even in the house of God, if you, to you think you've given to God, you give him your $10, but God knows you could have given $1,000, and say, I've given to God. As far as God is concerned, you didn't give to God. Because God looks at your sacrifice. It's not how much, it is what it's costing you. Do you remember when Jesus was standing by the offering basket? Huh? And what was he doing? He was looking at what people were giving. Which means I can also look at what you are giving. Our Lord Jesus was doing that. And then what happened? The little woman came and did what? The poor woman, the widow, what did she do? She came and put her 2 mites in there. And what did God say? What did the Lord Jesus say? I can't hear you. He says the one who has given the most here is not you who brought your 10,000. It's not you who brought your 5,000. It's not you who brought your 500. But it was the one who brought her $1. Why? But you felt good that you gave your $1,000. Ha! Gave the church $1,000. But God knew that. You needed to give 5,000. This is not Pastor C talking. It's the Bible. Especially when you, let me tell you, after this I'll be teaching on some of these things, because when we're dealing with sacrifice and all that, I'll be teaching as well about money. Because let me tell you, many times the reason we are locked up the minute we start talking about money is because our life is not completely given to God. Trust me, I'll show you through scripture. So you find that God is looking. So your sacrifice, if it does not cost you, it is not a sacrifice. Now, remember, what did the Bible say? The Bible say you bring what on the altar? Your sacrifices and offerings. There are two things. Many of us, we bring our offerings, but we don't bring our sacrifices. He didn't just say bring your sacrifice. He said sacrifices and offering. Now, every sacrifice is an offering. Amen? But not every offering is a sacrifice. Say it with me. Every sacrifice is an offering. But not every offering is a sacrifice. So there's a time when you bring your offering, and there's a time when you bring your sacrifice. What costs you? So a sacrifice is not a substitute for obedience. Number two, a sacrifice must cost you. Number three, a sacrifice must be given from a pure heart, from the right motives. From the right motives. Because if a sacrifice is not given from a pure heart with the right motives, you'll find that you will not reap the benefits. What are the benefits, friends, of living a life of sacrifice? A life of sacrifice is a life full of God's presence, full of God's power, full of God's authority. A life of sacrifice is a life that walks in covenant blessing and protection of God. As you live your life, as you look at yourself, can you say that your life is a life of sacrifice? Can you say, I present my body as a living sacrifice? In the areas that we've talked about, we're looking at the demands of the altar as a sacrifice. Think about your life. Think about the time. Do you give the time that you need to God? Let me tell you, when you talk about time, sometimes we are thinking coming to church. No, what about just time with you and God on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday? Ladies, I like it when you tell me I was praying in the car as I was driving, but why didn't you pray before you left? Let me tell you, those prayers in the car, they are add-on prayers. But what about your primary prayer? Did you spend time with God? That's time. That's a sacrifice. What about reading the Bible? Taking time to read the Word. Putting aside time. How many of us, we go to work, we are busy, we are working 8 hours, 10 hours. We are doing that. But can you take just 30 minutes to read the Bible? Oh, you are too busy for that. When are you reading the Bible? When you are cooking, you put on the thing. I don't know about you, this audio Bible thing, by the time you say, oh, today I'm reading 1 Corinthians, by the time you hear it, it's on Ephesians chapter 5. What happened between Corinthians chapter 1? Or maybe it has never happened to you, it happens to me. And so you find you put repeat. Even when you put repeat, by the third verse, you are distracted. It doesn't happen to you, you are holy people. Trust me, this thing happens. So you find that because of that, you're like, oh, I read the Word. When did you read? I was listening audio. Okay, what did it say in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20? Oh, I mean, but I read it. Just because you started on Ephesians chapter 1 and you show up in Revelation, I finished the Bible. Okay, what did Galatians say? I don't remember. So what are we talking about, friends? Sacrifice. Make a commitment. As a living sacrifice, because you're supposed to offer spiritual sacrifice. When is God going to talk to you? In the car? I don't think so. When you're cooking? I don't think so. I'm not talking about those little inspirations that come. I'm talking about when God wants to really minister to you. There is reading and there is studying. That's time, friends. What about time to pick up the phone and call somebody and check on them? How are they doing? Oh, I don't have time. By the time I realized it, it was too late. Time is a sacrifice. Instead of eating that lunch, what do you do? Take 10 minutes and say, you know, I'm going to call 3 people. Just check on them. See how they're doing. What is that? It's a sacrifice. You're living a life of sacrifice. People are always so busy with life today. Trust me, everybody is busy, including Pastor C. Everybody is busy. But have you noticed that many times you are always saying, Pastor did not call me. Pastor did not call me. Pastor did not. Oh, Pastor is just as busy as you. Huh? But he is also supposed to do what? Take a sacrifice and call. But have you noticed? It's so amazing how we always look at the other person and say they never did it. What about you? Did you do it? Huh? When you're a living sacrifice, you always talk about how so-and-so talked about me. So-and-so was slandering me. So-and-so was but you're forgetting you are the same person that was gossiping about somebody else 3 days ago. Just because they did not hear you does not mean that, huh? And you're so mad about so-and-so who was saying stuff about you. But you also in other circles, they even know not to say anything around you. Because you are the chief gossiper in their eyes. A living sacrifice. Look at somebody and say, it's time for me to become a living sacrifice. I don't know who I was speaking to today. But I know that God is calling for us in this season of new beginnings to be a living sacrifice. Shall we rise to our feet? I just want us to just worship the Lord. Amen.